from San Francisco to Paris, Nashville to Amsterdam, we're reaching up.
This is John Fass in San Francisco, and we're reaching up again this week with music, some cool wisdom, and special guest Terry Brewer.
Trying to put it down in total darkness. I didn't feel the need to get on my knees. What's this you're talking? No one could tell me nothing that held me out before. But when the sunlight came and stopped the rain, I was standing with the Lord. Oh, can you feel the joy? Gonna make you wanna jump, jump, jump. Don't it make you wanna move, move, move? Throw your hands to the roof. You're killing kids, no one wants to live. Love's on the down low. Now what's up with that? Let's get back on track, straight to the rainbow. You gotta know that God is always by your side. Oh, you're feeling down, look around, just enjoy your life. When you feel the joy, jump, jump, jump.
Daddy, daddy, who's your daddy, daddy, who's your daddy, daddy? Look, give us valet, cause we're making our way cutting to the front line with the authority of Christ on our side. While y'all all up in the club getting crunk, all up in the club getting drunk, holding up the wall, passing blunts. You trying to take her home for the month, and she's trying to get your cheese for about a month. And then y'all part separate ways, y'all in search for some brighter days, looking for love when y'all need to be saved. Y'all need to behave, this world will send you straight to your grave. No matter your age, stop having sex and playing with AIDS. The price has been paid, you need to reap the benefits, babe. They say you're bled on the cross so your choice can be made. Oh, but you wanna go where the brothers spit game, and women get treated the same.
That's right.
You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Where's that?
Up in the club. Come on, dance for daddy. Dance. Get crunk for daddy. Come on, bounce for daddy.
Bounce.
Come on, pray for daddy. Get saved for daddy.
Save.
Who's your daddy, daddy? Who's your daddy, daddy? Who's your daddy, daddy? Come on, dance for daddy.
Dance.
Get crunk for daddy. Come on, bounce for daddy.
Bounce.
Come on, pray for daddy.
Pray.
Get saved for daddy.
Save.
Who's your daddy, daddy? Who's your daddy, daddy? I need to know exactly what you gon' be doing when Jesus returns, and just exactly what you gon' be saying when it's your turn, just exactly what you gon' be thinking when you were learning, just exactly what you gon' believe in when you get burned. Tell me exactly what be more important than your soul, and exactly why you choose to ignore what you've been told. Who's exactly holding total control over your life, and just exactly when you lose all respect for your life. What exactly did you think would happen when young folks got saved? You thought they wouldn't be rapping, well now what's happening? What exactly woke you up this morning about your sleep? What makes you think that praising God makes a man to be weak? What exactly are you living for? How many days you done wasted and never knew for sure? Just exactly your meaning, but you only give it a chance. I decree your existence and giving God this dance. You're with for daddy. Come on, dance for daddy.
Dance.
Get crunk for daddy.
Crunk.
Come on, bounce for daddy.
Bounce.
Come on, pray for daddy.
Pray.
Get saved for daddy.
Save.
Who's your daddy, daddy?
Who's your daddy, daddy?
Here's Don Fass with today's What's Up With God.
What if God were one of us? So that song by Joan Osborne. How do you look at that loud Chinese lady on the bus? How do you feel? What about that real heavyset man standing in front of you on the movie line? How about the homeless man sitting in the doorway? What about your gossipy Aunt Martha? How does she sometimes make you feel? And the dude with the really weird earring at school? And how about the garbage man clanging the garbage pails, or the young woman with the dreadlocks at the coffee place, or the grumpy neighbor next door? What do you see in them? Jesus didn't begin his ministry until he was age 30. Before that, he was a carpenter who would go to synagogue praying. Even in his ministry days, he washed the feet of his disciples. Who do you see in all the people you come in contact with every day? What if God were one of us? Well, he was. Shouldn't you see Jesus in each and every one of the people your path crosses each day? That's what's up with God. This is Don Fass. Be sure to check out our oneheartforkids.com website. Catch you later. This is Don Fass from San Francisco, and we're all reaching up. We were in L.A. for the Golden Globes. No, we didn't see J-Lo or Ben, but we did meet a lot of really cool people. In Los Angeles, we talked to Terry Brewer, a therapist who lectures to middle and high school students all over the country, in fact, millions so far, and uses humor to discuss some very serious stuff with teens.
Terry, for a number of years, you've been talking to youth at schools all over, many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, and I read on your website that you take a unique approach to serious topics with them, in injecting a lot of humor. One of the topics that you talk about is bullying. What do you tell kids about bullying?
The unique approach I take is that I've always been a humorist. I always use laughter to talk about whatever topic that I am addressing. And the I got my start doing an assembly called Laughing Your Way Through Difficult Times, and it was just a general assembly helping young people deal with the disappointments and frustrations and challenges of life. I have discovered over the years that a lot of teenagers don't have that training. They somehow are not raised, lately anyway, with a certain amount of resiliency, the ability to bounce back. Anyway, about 2 years ago, for a number of reasons, I focused that to just the problem of bullies. Some of it is because there's been such an increased need for people to address that, and some of it, frankly, was because that's where schools have funding to bring in speakers and guests. And so I started talking about bullies, and so I always tell the kids I'm going to do two things. I'm going to use humor to talk about something serious, so I've got to get them laughing about something that's really quite important. Now, I keep them laughing for about 45 minutes, and I speak mostly to middle schools and to high schools. And I drop in three important points for middle school students, and maybe if there are some teenagers listening today, and if they have any kind of a problem with bullying, if they remember these three things, it might help them on their campus. It's a simple A, B, and C. A stands for adult. Whether they like it or not, it is the adult's responsibility to make sure that bullying stops at any given school, and so the adults, the grown-ups, want to help, but they really can't if they don't know about it. So number one, or A, is adults. Students need to make sure that the adult knows about it. B stands for bully. A lot of times, kids who are being bullies don't really know it. They don't consciously understand that their put-downs or their pushing kids around is being received with fear, so that they don't know that they're a bully. And so B stands for bully. You simply ask the bully to stop. Now, you do it politely and quickly, and you don't turn into a bully yourself, but you ask the bully to stop. And C is the most powerful of all. C stands for care. And I tell students if they will reach out in some way that very same day and care for the student that was being picked on, they can actually undo what a bully was trying to do. Imagine this power. I know adults who can trace problems in their lives back to a bad experience in middle school or high school. If a kid is bullied and another student later that day reaches out for them in friendship, that student can actually turn what might have become the worst day in that student's life into a great day, a good day. And that's a pretty powerful thing to tell kids. And so those are the three steps that I tell kids about. Now, when I do an assembly, I'm talking to the 90% of kids that are not bullies, nor are they the victim of bullies very often. But they see it happen, and they're in a unique place to do something about it.
What do you tell kids, if anything, about other kinds of violence that are so prevalent in every aspect of society these days, and probably weren't so anywhere near as much when we were going to school, except in certain particular areas. A lot of kids that I've talked to seem to be almost afraid to go to school, not just getting past bullying now. I mean, we've got metal detectors in school. We've got locker searches. We never had any of those when I was a kid.
It's a very different world, isn't it? And it's sad and it's scary. Even for grown-ups, it's scary. I don't really address that too much in an assembly unless I'm asked to. And I simply let kids know, you know, some kids, particularly the ones that have a tendency toward or might be violent themselves, I think a lot of kids somehow don't get this cognitive connection that violence can change dozens, if not hundreds, of people's lives forever. They don't know that. They don't know what forever is. I'm 48. I only know what 48 years is. I have no way of understanding what it would be like to wait 100 years because I've not waited 100 years. And so a teenager, a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, they don't understand that if they hurt a kid or worse, you know, into a student's life, that they are changing the history of not just that student, but families, many, many people forever. And I don't want to be a typical, I mean, I suppose we could lay a lot of the blame or responsibility at the foot of media today and entertainment, but I think that it really has to be addressed more in the family unit. I mean, when I was a kid, we had cowboys and Indians, and we had violence on television and in movies, but somehow we understood that it was just fantasy. It wasn't anything that you would ever really even consider doing. And today, for some reason, they're not getting that peace. They're not getting that sense of disconnect from, you know, from what's fantasy and what's reality. So I think that the answer really lies more with good parenting skills. And I don't have many opportunities to talk to the parents. And so it's probably a problem. I know this may sound like a bit of a cop-out, but it's probably a problem that is a bit too complicated to address in a simple 45-minute assembly with students. However, I would let them know, again, that if they see that kind of behavior, it's not to be played with. You know, if they hear or see that someone is going to act violently, that they should act on it. I spoke at a school a couple of years ago, and when I got there, there were a bunch of police cars in the parking lot, and so I got to the office and was introduced to the principal, and he told me it had been kind of an exciting morning or a dramatic morning. Apparently, a young girl, sixth grader, had overheard a kid talking about another kid in a way that sounded serious and threatening, and so she simply wrote a note and told the office. Now, this is a sixth grade girl who wasn't even involved in it. She just overheard it. She let the administrator know about it. And that afternoon, or that morning, they went ahead and brought him in with his backpack and opened his backpack and found a gun in his backpack. And so here's a little girl that may have, you know, intervened in a tragedy without really even knowing. She just overheard something that didn't sound right. And I do encourage kids, when you start thinking of hearing words like gun and violence and kill and revenge, and it's not something to be played with. You got to let adults know about it. So.
This is the anniversary of the massacre at Columbine High School, and I was there that week, and it was quite an emotional experience. And, of course, as you're saying, really, the message of Columbine was that if people who knew that there was the possibility, and there was apparently plenty of knowledge, had done something about it, it wouldn't have happened in so many lives, the lives of the two kids who did the shooting and the all the victims wouldn't have happened.
Back with Terry Brewer in a minute on Reaching Up Radio.
Can't ever take it or fake it. If you need it, you got it.
Don Fass on Reaching Up Radio, back with Terry Brewer, who's also a pastor.
What else do you talk to kids about? What other subjects besides bullying?
Sometimes I'm brought in just to make kids feel good. I for better or for worse, have the reputation of being a comedian, especially to the young people, because I learned a long time ago that the only way I could hold the attention of 1,000 teenagers was by keeping them laughing. And so I keep them laughing the entire 45 minutes, even if I'm dropping in some serious points. And occasionally, a school will want to reward either honor roll kids or good students, or maybe just the whole assembly at the end of the year with kind of an upbeat, positive, laughter-filled message. So I do that some. During what's called Red Ribbon Week here in the state of California, I do a lot of anti-drug and chemical addiction kinds of assemblies and talk to kids about that. Again, using laughter as a way to diffuse the peer pressure to go along with the crowd. I mean, if you can laugh at something, you can manage it. It doesn't seem as overwhelming or as scary. I've also been asked to talk to students when occasionally a student commits suicide, and I'll be brought in to talk to the student body about that. Once I was asked to come in when 4 students were killed in a car accident the week before and bring some sense of perspective to that through laughter. So it really varies from time to time. I really like to talk about the general principle of laughter as a tool for facing some of the challenges. Kids just don't realize. They experience it, but they don't understand that it's all right. They don't understand. They experience tough times. In fact, in many ways, they experience, as we just said, tougher times than we experienced when we were their age. But I think that their first reaction is, well, why is this happening to me? Or what did I do to deserve this? When the truth is, bad things and tough things happen to everyone. And if you know that going in, you can manage it rather than be overwhelmed by it.
Kind of reminds me, and a lot of my audience is maybe too young around the world to remember this, although if they've seen Mary Tyler Moore reruns, there was this great episode where Chuckles the Clown had died. And she's at the funeral, and everybody's very serious. And she starts to laugh, and everybody kind of looked down on her for doing that. And eventually, I mean, of course, that was the appropriate reaction. Chuckles would have wanted everybody to laugh and so forth. But I am wondering, a topic so serious as substance abuse that affects so many teenagers and their families, how do you use humor for that?
Well, that's a good question, because you did pick the one topic that I mitigate with some drama at the end. I mean, I do talk in the first half of my assembly in generalities about making good choices and about using laughter to diffuse peer pressure. But my own family was impacted quite dramatically when my younger brother became a drug addict and then a drug dealer, and then took several of us at gunpoint and held us hostage for a couple of days, and it was kind of a not funny story and a not funny time. But fortunately, in prison, he got into a 12-step program and learned, you know, that he could manage his addiction. And so at the end of that assembly, I typically tell that story, which is not funny and somewhat dramatic, but does sort of do two things for kids. It reminds them about how real the problem is. Oh, my goodness, if it affected the life of this guy who's up here speaking. And number two, I think that it helps them feel like they're not so alone, because, frankly, a lot of kids have older brothers or moms or dads or cousins or uncles or whoever who are addicted to drugs and who are caught up in that whole world. And so they seem to be somewhat encouraged that they're not alone and that there was sort of a happy ending to my brother's story. Not that I made it up. If it had a tragic ending, I would tell it that way. But in our case, it did come around for Scott. So you're sharp there, Don, because I use laughter to hold their attention, but when I get to the end of that, it's really not a funny. It's a pretty serious thing. And by the way, I have discovered, especially at the middle school level, that kids are able to make that transition too. That they like to be entertained, they like to laugh, they like to have a good time, but they also understand the concept of a pain and suffering and addiction and somebody being hurt or scared because they have a family member that is threatening them or threatening themselves. And so I have been impressed with really how mature kids are today, how quickly they can come around and empathize with somebody who's going through maybe what they've gone through or are going through.
While we were in LA, we did some incredible interviews with incredibly cool people. Father Malcolm Boyd, the hippie priest of the 60s. Extraordinary musicians, Tim and Tom Zender. The director of the Museum of Tolerance. And lots more. And you'll hear them all in coming weeks, right here on Reaching Up.
Have you ever been lied to? Maybe mistreated? Taken for granted till you just can't stand it? Were you ever mistaken? Thought to be someone that you just can't be? So where's the love you need?
Love takes time. Please be kind. See every part.
Let's hear from you about anything you want to write us about at reachingupradio@yahoo.com. reachingupradio@yahoo.com. Be sure to tell us where you're listening. Or go to our website at reachingupradio.com. That's reachingupradio.com. This is Don Fass. Join us next weekend and keep reaching up.